In the life of the church, this is known as Palm slash Passion Sunday, and it is asked to do a whole lot. But it is the most meaningful week in the life of the church. And so today, rather than a sermon, we have a passion play that I put together based upon the Gospel of Luke. And 17 of your fellow Westmorelanders have been willing to put it on. And so with no further ado, I will ask them to begin.
It is 30 AD. Jerusalem is part of the Roman Empire. The Jews had lost control of the area many decades earlier. The city and the surrounding area are governed by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor focused on enforcing Roman laws and maintaining stability in the region, as well as furthering his career. Herod Antipas was the regent, appointed and controlled by Rome, overseeing the remainder of Judea and Israel. He is part of a family that has ruled this area for centuries and willing to do anything that will assure that he stays in control with the continuing support of Rome.
It is the time of Passover, and thousands of Jews have traveled to Jerusalem for this important religious holiday. Earlier in the week, an unusual event occurred. A man named Jesus, who has been preaching and teaching in Galilee, even doing healing and performing so-called miracles, arrived in the city. His followers and many others lined the streets to cheer him on with hosannas. Many of those waving palms think of Jesus as the Messiah, the one the Jewish scriptures predict will come to lead the Jews. Surprisingly, he has not sought to capitalize on his fame and popularity. He has held no public gathering since he arrived in Jerusalem. Instead, he has gone to the temple to discuss and debate with the religious leaders.
But the religious leaders in Jerusalem are worried about Jesus' popularity with the people. They are meeting to discuss how to curb his ministry and have talked of having him seized and arrested. Apparently, the civil authorities have taken note of Jesus, too, concerned that he and his followers may be a threat to the existing peace. At the moment, the relations between the religious authorities and the Roman leaders are stable, with each letting the other have their own sphere of influence.
Let's listen in on a gathering of the high priest and scribes.
I am worried about this man from Galilee called Jesus. Did you see the crowd that lined the streets when he arrived a few days ago? It was huge. These people seem to think Jesus is a prophet or even the Messiah.
I think he is dangerous too. Did you hear that he said, "Man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man"? He heals on the Sabbath, and he eats with the unclean, the prostitutes and tax collectors.
Yes, and he has been teaching that our most important religious rules and rituals are not that important, that they can be ignored in certain situations, which he defines. Who does he think he is?
He is completely undermining our sacred traditions, those things that hold our faith together. The next thing you know, he will be coming after us and other priests and scribes.
Have you seen the people who he calls his disciples? They are uneducated. They know nothing about the scriptures and the rites and rituals that define who we are. This Jesus says he is one of us, but he undercuts our very faith. Who is this man?
We clearly need to do something about him. He is a real threat to us and to our faith. He has actually suggested that he is the Son of God. That's blasphemy. Our commandments handed down by God to Moses say, "We shall have just one God." This Jesus is suggesting that he too is God. He needs to be stopped. Let's bring him to the civil authorities and let them put him on trial. That way, we can stop him and yet avoid angering his followers.
I agree.
The sooner, the better.
Do we know any of his disciples who might help us out just for a few pieces of silver?
Now let us turn to a meeting between Pilate, the Roman governor of Jerusalem, and his senior political counselor.
Governor, I think there is a problem brewing. Did you hear about the crowd that greeted the Jew from Galilee they called Jesus? It was huge and wildly passionate. They were waving palms and yelling hosannas after him as he rode into the city on a colt of all things. His followers think he may be the new king of the Jews, come to restore the old kingdoms of Judea and Israel, with Jerusalem as their capital city. They seem to think their God has promised them this land.
From what I've heard, his real following is not that large. Certainly the religious leadership doesn't think much of him.
But don't underestimate Jesus' following. Even if not huge, it is extremely loyal. His message is also troublesome. He believes in the power of love more than the importance of law, and especially Roman authority. And if you can believe this, he says all human beings are worthy of being loved. Medes, Persians, and Samaritans. Moreover, he worships one God, who he calls Father, and rejects out of the hand all the gods of the Romans. He is a very dangerous man.
What troubles me is that we may find ourselves with an internal battle among the Jews, between those who follow Jesus and the establishment which doesn't. We have an acceptable and stable detente now with the religious hierarchy. I don't want that upset. Keep me posted on developments. Perhaps the religious establishment will have a proposal to neutralize this Jesus.
It is now Thursday night. Jesus has just had a meal with his closest followers. He has told them that his end is near. At the meal, he took bread and wine and suggested that after he is gone, they eat bread and drink wine in remembrance of him and as symbols of his sacrifice for them.
And then he shocks everyone when he states that he will be betrayed by one of those present at the meal. He also tells his most faithful disciple, Peter, that he will deny any knowledge of Jesus three times before the cock crows.
After the supper, Jesus and his disciples go to the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane.
Pray, my friends, that you may not come into the time of trial. I am now going off to be alone and pray.
I don't know what has come over Jesus recently. He's just not the same. He's so down and fatalistic, saying that this is the end. We've just seen those huge crowds crying Hosanna, waving palms, millions of them. They certainly love him. His ministry is just taking off. And yet he keeps talking about the end and that he must leave us. We've got to shake him out of this.
The disciples grow weary and fall asleep while Jesus prays.
Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.
After earnest and anguished prayer, Jesus returns to the disciples to find them sleeping, exhausted. Suddenly, a crowd appears, led by one of the disciples, Judas, who approaches Jesus to kiss him.
Jesus!
Yes, Judas. Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?
Don't let him take Jesus, get your swords.
Stop! Put down your swords. Put down your weapons. No more of this violence.
Now Jesus turns to the crowd of priests, scribes, temple police, and elders who have come for him.
Why have you come with swords and clubs to arrest me, as if I were a bandit?
You are a dangerous man. Come with us now, you blasphemer.
I have been with you day after day in the temple. You could have had me at any time. But of course, this hour belongs to you and the power of darkness.
Jesus is seized and taken to the high priest's house, while Peter follows at a distance.
You were with the one they call Jesus, who was just arrested.
No, woman. I do not know him.
Wait a minute. You are one of those disciples of Jesus. I saw you.
No, I am not.
You were with Jesus, and you were to a Galilean. You speak the same way. You sound just like Jesus.
I don't know what you're talking about. You have mistaken me for someone else.
And then the cock crows 3 times.
God, I've done exactly what Jesus said. I have betrayed him.
The interrogation by the religious council begins.
If you are the Messiah, tell us.
If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God.
Are you the Son of God?
You say that I am.
What further testimony do we need? We have heard it from his own lips. Let the Romans put him on trial.
Jesus now comes before Pilate for the first time.
Governor, this man is perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king.
Are you king of the Jews?
You say so.
Is this all you've got? I find no basis for your accusations against this man.
But he stirs up the people by teaching hearsay throughout all Judea, in Galilee, where he began, and now in Jerusalem.
In Galilee? Is he a Galilean? Ha! That means he's not my problem. He's Herod's problem. Herod has jurisdiction over Galilee. Send this man to Herod.
Jesus is taken to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at the time.
Jesus, I have wanted to meet you for some time. I have heard about your teaching and exploits. So, Jesus, show me something miraculous. Right here, right now. Make this statue come alive.
Look at the haughtiness of this fellow. He won't even answer a question. He claims to be the Son of God, and yet he will do nothing to free himself or even to answer the charges against him.
Says he's the Son of a God. And yet he can't even defend himself. If he had special powers, he'd use them now. This man is a fraud. Flog him, dress up this new David in a robe, and take him back to Pilate. Get him out of my sight.
Jesus appears before Pilate again.
Your religious leaders have brought this man, Jesus, to me as one who is perverting the people. I've examined him. He may be foolish. He certainly is misguided and totally non-responsive. But I have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Herod reached the same conclusion. I will, therefore, have him flogged and then released.
No, Governor, you must not do that.
We have a right to demand the release of one prisoner. Release the revolutionary and murderer Barabbas, not Jesus.
But I found nothing wrong with Jesus.
Crucify him! Crucify him!
I don't understand. What evil has he done? I found no ground for the sentence of death. Again, I say, I will have him flogged and then released.
Crucify him.
I want to release him. I truly find no case against this man. But the crowd is wildly against him.
Governor, you must keep the peace. So what if we sacrifice one anti-establishment Jew to maintain order?
You're right. Okay, I'm going to wash my hands of this whole thing. I will release Barabbas, and the prisoner, Jesus, shall be taken to be crucified.
Jesus is led away with two other prisoners to Golgotha, the place called the Skull, where he is nailed to a cross between two other prisoners also being crucified.
Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing.
Look at him. He saved others, and he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one. Let him save himself.
Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us.
What are you saying? Do you not fear God, since you were under the same sentence of condemnation? And you and I have been condemned justly, and we are getting nothing more than we deserve for our misdeeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
The skies darkened at the noon hour and remained that way until 3 p.m. when Jesus spoke his last.
Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
And then Jesus breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. A Roman centurion standing at the foot of the cross said, "Certainly this man was innocent." Joseph of Arimathea Then a righteous and religious man and a religious leader then took Jesus' body, wrapped it, and laid it in a tomb.